Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me okay? Okay. There have been some issues the past few weeks with the sound, so I raised it up a little bit. I don't want to get distortion, but I need to be able to hear. So, and my voice tends to drop, which doesn't make it any easier. I'm aware of that. And I don't think it's a habit I'll ever break. So it's Father's Day. And though he's not here, Ezekiel was imploring that I do something with Father's Day on this Father's Day. So I am. I believe it ties in with the gospel. And I was listening to the reading this morning. What came to mind was that line from the movie Amadeus. When Amadeus is talking to Mozart, he just says there's too many notes. Well, there's so many words this morning. I don't agree with Amadeus as he's critiquing Mozart, but sometime in our liturgy, it's just a floodgate of words. And then you wonder where do you start, or what thread do you tease out and begin to follow. So I was drawn to those few words at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, while proclaiming the good news of God's reign and curing all kinds of diseases and sicknesses, because everything follows from that, flows from those words. The good news of God's reign, not a curse, but there's something good about God's reign, and we experience cure from sickness and disease. I want to explore that cure, that sense of cure, really basically in terms of the cure of our soul, the healing of our soul, our basic sense of who we are. And connect it up with fathers. And although I'm talking about Father's Day, whatever I say, it's not gender specific. I could say about mothers too. But I'm going to keep it to fathers this morning. So I'm going to share, begin with a few experiences of my own dad. My dad's in his late 80s. And he's been battling Parkinson's for close to 20 years. His health is quite poor. But when he was a young man, much younger than I am now, he was a vigorous soul. Both my parents are teachers. I've shared some of that. My mom, music, and my dad, business. When I was really young, 3, 4, 5, he also worked, perhaps, and my memory is off here, but maybe as assistant athletic director. My dad also played semi-professional softball. He was involved in sports and basketball. So I was about 4 years old, and at that time we had 5 kids in the family. I had 2 older sisters and a brother, just a few years apart from me, and 2 younger brothers, just a few years apart from me. It was the rhythm method at work in my Catholic household. Boom, 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 boom. Well, it must have been a summer, hot summer morning. Everyone was in bed, and I got out and I wandered down this little hallway. It was a little hallway, 1,100 square feet where all of us lived. I mean, it was a box. But I wandered down and noticed that my parents' room was open. I peeked in, and my mom was somewhere else, maybe downstairs, maybe having a smoke. She was a smoker then. And I noticed my dad was lying there. I don't know if he was asleep or not. But the covers were kind of pulled back. The window was open on this early summer morning. And I wandered in, and this little being, this little waif of a being that I was, I crawled up on the bed. And there he was, his no shirt on. Covers back, trying to cool off. And that undulating chest and belly of his was so inviting, with all those curly hairs. And so I just crawled up and laid my head on my dad's chest. And I don't know how long I laid there, and just felt that undulating movement of his torso. And aware now just how my heart was melting into his. You know, kind of like a sun that's not too warm, but it's warm enough to kind of melt like butter, and the boundaries disappear. There's just this golden union of heart. And this sense that the heart goes on forever, like the blue sky in the morning. Settledness. That's a quality of the reign of God that my father introduced me to in part in that brief experience. Our hearts being one, our hearts only one, that golden sweet unity. That is an introduction to the experience of union with God. That sweet golden quality of being one with the source of life. And it's such an utterly and completely human experience of resting my head on my father's, my dad's belly. So about a year later, we're out a Friday night because we're out at some athletic event. So I'm only maybe five or so. Friday night, and it's a football game. And there I am, this little tot. And as the memory comes back to me now, it was like, I don't know, I was out in the woods here in the UP of Eastern White Pine, and it's a big storm, and the trees are very tight together. And they're going back and forth, and they're looking up, and you know which way is north, and it's a little, disconcerting, feeling out of my element, out of the ability to kind of make my way, feeling lost and afraid. And I'm standing there beside my dad in his teeming sea of swaying humanity. And the next moment, I've been hoisted and up on his shoulders. And my skinny little legs are held firmly in the grasp of his hands. And now I am this bird, perched securely on this ambulating oak tree, moving through this midst of humanity. And I realized I can do this. I can make my way through this sea of humanity. I have the strength to do this. It's coming from my dad's strength. His strength is mine. And it's not simply that I'm tolerating this mass. I'm enjoying it. I feel secure. I feel I have this amazing capacity to navigate through, resting upon the shoulders of my dad, this red, invigorating strength of his heart and my heart. A quality of the reign of God is that when we are in touch with it, it gives us the strength. We realize we can do what we need to do. We're okay. We're not an insignificant, little, incapacitated being. We're resting on the shoulders, on the heart of God. And we don't simply tolerate what reality gives us, we embrace it. And we learn to go where the opening is, and we learn to enjoy it, its challenges. What Paul is talking about, there are things that come our way in life, and we realize, oh, we have the capacity to not only endure them, but to learn from them, to grow. My father was a gateway to my experience, my learning of that, that strength, that divine strength, which is mine, which is yours. That's quite a gift when you're only 5 years old. So the final story with my dad this morning, but not, that won't be the end of the sermon. 7 years old, and my parents had surprised my older sister Krista and my brother Joe and I, the three eldest, with a trip. we, unaccompanied by my parents or anyone else, we are going to board the train in Detroit, 7, 8, 9 years old, and we're going to take that train down to Illinois, which might as well have been Timbuktu. We are off on an adventure. Just the three of us, these three little types, boarding Amtrak, I don't know if it was Amtrak at that time, and taking that train on our own into this Illinois. My God, who knows what's in Illinois besides our relatives? It was an amazing gift. So the night before, my parents had invited over neighbors, and we're having this big, well, the only thing my parents could really afford, spaghetti. So spaghetti for us and the neighbors. And as the evening is wearing on in this party, I'm feeling worse and worse. I'm starting to get this fever, and my stomach just feels so tender. I mean, I'm getting sicker and sicker, and I go and I crawl into a corner of our little family room just to be by myself, and eventually realize I'm not with the celebration. And my parents seek me out, and my mom realizes I'm burning up. So my dad scoops me up, because the party is still going on, and takes me to the emergency room in Monroe, Michigan. And here I am, this little boy in my little summer shorts and shirt in this cold emergency room. I hoist it up on that vinyl, sterile, you know, table that's in there with that crumpled white paper. It's supposed to preserve us from all the bacteria. So I'm sitting up there, and he's prodding, and he's poking, and he's taking my temperature, and his head is shaking. And he looks at me, and he says, "Son, you're not going anywhere. Your appendix is about to burst, and you're going to have surgery right away." And my little boy heart just crushed, you know. There goes the adventure, there goes all the thrill. And I'm just sitting there crying. And my dad, he comes and he stands. I'm sitting on the table. He stands in front of me. He looks me in the eye. He says, "Kevin, I think you need to call your mother and tell her." And I did. In my tears and in my crushed dreams, I realized I had the capacity to tell her. I was still there. And my dad trusted in me. He knew I had that power in me to be the truth of who I am. I could handle this, and I could share with my mom what was going on, and I would be okay. It's that power of being at peace with us, whatever it is that's there. And we do what we need to do. It's kind of the black piece of night, of midnight, right? And that blackness of the midnight sky, it's not threatening, but it kind of sinks into our very bones and hearts, and we realize it goes on further, and there's a peace and there's a strength, and we can do whatever we need to do. It's God's very being that is us, that works through us and as us, whatever us is in that moment. That emerging gold, that strength, that black power of peace. This is a different power than being, trying to lord over just a piece of being ourselves. It's an amazing power. Those are qualities of the reign of God. And my father introduced those to me in very common, ordinary, everyday experiences that he could have missed. He could have missed, and I could have missed. And sometimes as we grow up, they are missed. And our Father isn't there to help us begin to realize these truths of ourselves, these fundamental truths of the reign of God. And when they're not there, when we don't experience them, we can begin to feel very thin, like we have no substance. We can be blown away by a crisis or a loss. Or even a joy can blow us away. It'd be too much for our thin being. It's like we're, you know, after a fire has burned the log down and all there's left is ash, and if the wind comes, it just blows the ash. It's like It's so thin, it's so vulnerable, it's so extremely delicate, it can be destroyed by anything. So these qualities of the reign of God are vital to us. And when they're not there, we lose vitality. There are two women, Rita Nakashima Brock and Rebecca Ann Parker, ministers from different traditions. And they wrote this book, Proverbs of Ashes, a number of years ago, before they wrote their second book, Saving Paradise. And it was Rebecca, I believe, whose experience as a pastor, she was in Seattle, precipitated the writing of the book. She would have these experiences. I just want to share a little bit about them with you. Women would come into her office in Seattle. And these would be women who were like ashes. And they would come in and they win a relationship where their spouse was abusing them. Physically abusing them, oftentimes sexual abuse, not only of themselves, but perhaps of their children. Emotional abuse. And then women would just stay in these relationships. They wouldn't leave. And I believe it was Rebecca who would ask them about it. The response would be, well, I need to stay in this relationship because that's what Jesus would do. Jesus is someone who endures the pain, the sorrows that life gave him. And God tests us. And we're here to endure these tests and to meet these tests. And these are women from all different types of religious backgrounds. And it's our role to endure, to put up with it. They had been taught so well by the church and the church's creeds and covenants and theology and worship and hymnody that our role as human beings in the reign of God is simply to endure when we are abused, endure when we are told that we are nothing, endure when we are trampled upon. And that's the will of God. And they were reduced to ashes, these women. It makes all the difference to have a father figure of some kind in our life who introduces us to a very different truth. It makes all the difference. And thank God for those women they encountered, Rebecca and her friend, that even later in life we can be introduced to a different truth. But it's so hard once we've been hurt so dearly and deeply. The words, the reign of God, they're simply a poetic way of saying God's being. So when you hear those words, it sounds so medieval. God's reign like a king, like God reigns here, but not over there. The whole point of the good news is that God's being is our being. It's the being of everything that exists. And there are no limits. No one can be cut off from it. I mean, the church uses it to cut people off from God's being. It's an impossibility. God's being is who you are. It's who I am. It's the being of the trees, of the ocean, of the wind, of the sun, of the minerals, of the black rocks. What we need are fathers who invite us to experience the truth of the presence of that being. And even when others might tell us it's not in us, we can know that it is in us. Even when we're having experiences that seem to contradict that, we can know even more deeply that it is the truth of who we are. We are merged. We are one with this God. This God is our strength. This God is our power. Yours and mine and all of creation. And thank God for the fathers who introduce us to that unbelievably precious truth about human life, about all life. They help us to know that the reign of God, the presence of God, it is good. It is very good. And it is precious. and it infuses all of us. Amen.